Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. I'm delighted to welcome the chairman of the New York Gaelic Athletic Association, Liam Birmingham, who indeed is from Kildare. And you're very welcome, Liam.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
Now, a lot of big issues and great things happening. But I think many of us would be very interested, of course, in first of all the existence of Gaelic Park, our own Gaelic Park here in the Bronx, and you could take us back nearly 90 years or so for that. Tell us about Gaelic Park and Gaelic Park in the Bronx.
Okay, well, basically, as you know, that we're celebrating our centenary this year, and prior to the 1940s, we played in a number of different localities in Queens and in Yonkers and in the Bronx, and it was really in the late 1940s, when it was originally known as Crow Park, that we moved to the present-day Gaelic Park, and it was only after that that it became known as Gaelic Park. When actually the Irish authorities objected to the name of Crow Park, saying that there was only one Crow Park, and that was in Dublin. So it was at that stage, the late 1940s, that it got renamed Gaelic Park. And ever since then, that corner in the Bronx on 240th Street and Broadway has been the home for the GAA. So even out of our 100 years, over 60 years of our playing existence, and everything has been in Gaelic Park.
For somebody who never kicked a football in his life, I can claim spending a lot of time in Gaelic Park in the Bronx over about a 15-year period. While everybody else was out on the pitch hurling and football, and myself and Mickey Carton and John O'Neill, we were in the... on the little stage up in the Bronx there, providing tremendous high-level entertainment to the little kids, especially the ones that were in diapers that the fathers had kind of abandoned to our care while they were out participating and watching in the sports. So I know, and I have a great grawl as it is for Gaelic Park, but I put that as an aside. So there you are. I don't know that will qualify me now, mind you, claim any part of what has been a very, very successful 100-year run, obviously, of the Gaelic Athletic Association in New York.
Well, Adrian, I think it's been much more than just the sporting end of it. And as you say, it's really been a family and a cultural and the real family place for the Irish in New York over the last 60 years. And it's not just your experience looking after the kids and that, but so many people have gotten their first job from Gaelic Park, have gotten their first apartment from Gaelic Park, have met their future spouse there and have brought their kids up there. And we have seen, even in my time in 30 years going there, we have seen now the kids that originally were running around like you described are kids to Gaelic Park. So, and that's where we are right now. We're in the process of trying to redevelop Gaelic Park so that it's going to be the home that it deserves for all of our.
You know, there's another. Yeah, Liam. There's also another aspect of it as well, and it has been not only a family place for occasions, for weddings, for as a singular venue, for the Irish, and as you say, all the family connections there. But if you figure the number of benefit dances and the fundraising that took place in that, very quietly and without much fuss, for those who were not only unfortunate due to sports injuries, but actually Gaelic Park, as we know it today, it serves so many very good purposes to help in so many areas. I think that must be very much a part of the, should be very much a part of the record, something to be proud of.
Yes, absolutely, Adrian. It really has been. And as I said, you have been going there for a long, long time. And even to this day, you see the numerous benefits. And when people are in need of help and support, it's always been a venue that people have turned to.
You know, there have been, of course, many and much criticism, mostly coming from within the Irish community itself, to say, you know, through the decades, why don't we have our own place? Why didn't we establish and get our own spot, mark our own spot, and have it? And it's great, of course, to be, you know, looking backwards as to what might have been. Well, one of the reasons that I am delighted to welcome you today is that what might have been is actually going to be.
Well, I mean, I know we can all look backwards and sort of look at the hands that we're dealt, but unfortunately, I mean, it is what it is at this stage. And I mean, we are delighted that after so many years that when the O'Donnells were the leaseholders in Gaelic Park, that in 2012 we were finally successful in, for the first time ever in our existence, of taking over the lease for the bar, the catering facilities, for all of that from the MTA. And obviously with that came the responsibility, and it was also a requirement of the MTA for when they did grant that lease, that we were to redevelop the facility. And obviously to redevelop the facility, we want and we need to make it something that's going to be a lasting monument, not only to the games, but to Irish culture and to Irish heritage, so that it can be used for all of the Irish groups and all the Irish organisations. So we have been going through the whole process of getting plans finalised, and right now we're at the process of doing the final engineered drawings. So we were held up over the winter because we couldn't do the soil sampling and the borings because of just the severe weather that we had. But all of that has been completed right now, and the structural engineers are doing the final plans, and we anticipate being able to send those plans to the city building department over the next number of weeks. And hopefully by this summer, we have met and with the MTA engineers and with the Department of Buildings, and they have approved the whole concept and the design in theory,
right.
But now that when the final plans are there, we don't anticipate a big problem. And all going well, we do anticipate, certainly later on in the summer, that we will be able to begin the demolition of Gaelic Park and start rebuilding and have it open again for the 2015 playing season.
Okay, for the benefit of those who may not be familiar with MTA, that's the Metropolitan Transit Authority, and in fact, they have been the owners of the property. It is a hub for subway trains, which run right up through the Bronx, and it's a terminal which is there. Having said all of that, the lease that you are referring to and the new freedom of being able to go forth with a very, very elaborate and real plan is something that that didn't exist. And I just want to ask you, though, I know that for several years, very good friends of ours, we know, for instance, those in the bar business. I'm sure there are lots of others too, but you know, like Connie O'Reilly, you know, for instance, a restaurant owner, you know, and Mike Carty and people like that have actually been putting up their money, have been not just writing checks, but there's been a great level of involvement from a lot of people who've come from Ireland or who are in a position to actually give back. And where and how this opportunity has been a point of focus is almost a miracle, you know.
Well, I could just follow up on that, Adrian. Absolutely, what you're saying is 100% correct. Now, this started a number of years ago when the first opportunity came to lengthen the pitch, put in the artificial surface, put in the floodlights, and make it a facility that we could play games year-round and week-round, which it is now. And all of those people on that development committee stayed on board, and we have added a few more. And as you say, we have Connie O'Reilly, Mike Carty, Terry Connaughton,
Terry
Coffey, Lawrence McGrath, Larry McCarthy, Brendan O'Sullivan, Kieran O'Sullivan, and all of these people have put in their own time, their own money, their own effort to get us to the stage where we are now. And they have provided so much time and so much of their own money to make this a reality. So they deserve a tremendous reward for the amount of time that they're after putting in as well. And a lot of the time, people don't realize just what goes on behind the scenes in order to make it and to get these fundraisers going and to get all this, to get this happening. So all of that committee that I have mentioned there, we're now we are now in the process of starting a major fundraising drive that will be happening this summer. But again, it's now these people that have been very successful people here, they are giving back, and they see this as, I think, as their legacy towards the Irish going forward.
Right.
Here.
And in fact, if perseverance has any role to play in it, it has a major role. You know, it is because of their perseverance, you know, and the New York Gaelic Athletic Association that this is now becoming a reality. You know, we could go backwards and say, well, you know, Manhattan College did their level best to, you know, to make sure that the Gaelic Athletic Association was always second fiddle. You know, the prior lease owners, you know, made it very difficult. All of that may have some level of truth. But right now, whereas the major fundraising is very real and it's here, but you're starting off with a commitment. This is not just let's have some fundraising and see how it goes. The commitment is there. Maybe you can tell us about, again, the Gaelic Park, where as a musician, I say, I spent, you know, so many years there, and so did many listeners to this program. But tell us about the commitment. The rising of the current building and that whole area there, that's for real, and that's going to start very soon. What is going to replace what we know as the ballroom and the bar and that concession there at Gaelic Park?
Well, that's true. We do anticipate that starting, as I said, this summer. Now, when we took over the lease from the MTA, we sought assistance from Crow Park, who is obviously the headquarters of the GAA, and the GAA have always recognised the historical significance of the GAA in New York, and I suppose that us, along with London, would primarily have been the home and considered the home of the GAA in America for many, many years. But, I mean, they have been more than supportive with this, and to that end, I mean, we had meetings with them over the last course of the years, and it had been formalised under the current president, Liam O'Neill, but obviously then, Eoghana Fáil, the incoming president, was in a position to announce it at our banquet last Saturday night that the GAA from Dublin would be contributing $2 million in a grant towards the development of this.
Right.
And we also have had discussions with the Department of Foreign Affairs, and we are certainly hopeful that all of that funding from them will be coming through as well. And that certainly gives us a very good basis to work off. And, I mean, obviously with every project, getting the seed money, the start money, is always the most difficult.
Right.
And now that we have that in place, that I think it's certainly something that people see, that the money's in place, the plans are in place, and that finally this is a go.
Liam, just to address something that did get some ink over the last couple of weeks, the current president of the New York, of the GAA in Ireland had made some comments which didn't sit too well with some who felt that the commitment from Ireland may not have been what you expected. Has that been kind of sorted out, or?
Yes, it has, Ed. And I spoke to Liam O'Neill directly since that, and he has clarified, and we have all clarified all the remarks that we made, and it was never his intention to suggest that New York would be removed from the championship. And he most certainly said that it would be New York's decision for their future participation in that. And I mean, it sort of grew legs, and it grew a little bit more than any one of us would have liked to see at the time. But we have spoken, we have cleared the air, and he has been most supportive.
And has been
there. Him and Tory Duffy and the GAA and management level have been most supportive of this project and of the GAA in New York. So, look, the timing of everything was unfortunate, but we have spoken, everything is fine, and we have the full commitment from them on both sides.
Yeah, and But there is indeed consistent evidence that this, in fact, is in their best interest as well. You know, as you pointed out, Gaelic Athletic Association, whereas, you know, they've made their mark throughout the world, you take London and you take New York, and that is where there is a very, very high level of consistency. You know, with respect to support through thick and thin, through adversity, it's a good, it has a great record, not only of survival, but I think you take the last 8 years or so with your new committee, there's no way that this cannot garner support at the highest level.
And yes, it has, Adrian, and it has, and it has even since that time at the highest level in Croke Park. And I would like to publicly thank them for their support. Obviously, without their financial help at the time, the pitch, the floodlights, everything would not have been completed. And quite honestly, without this seed money coming through from them, it would make it a difficult project to finance. But because of this coming through, people see that the help is there, and we owe them a great deal of gratitude for that. But obviously, they see what's important as well, and they see what the future is. And they have been out here, meaning Croke Park, have been out here numerous times over the last number of years. And to see the work that's been done at underage level in particular, and to see where the next generation of Irish and Irish-American kids are coming through, and they see where we need to continue, and we need to put facilities in place to make that happen. And having said that, obviously with Gaelic Park as well as that, they have also provided funding for Rockland for the wonderful facilities that they have developed there, and for Shannon Gales in Queens that they're providing capital as well. So they recognise the importance of New York to them as well. So we, as I said, we're just very grateful for their continued support.
Now let me ask you about. Let's go back to the building, current building, the bar, ballroom, the catering facilities as such, that's going to be replaced totally. This is not an add-on. This is, you're starting from the ground up. Excuse the pun.
This is taking a bulldozer and demolition to the ground and a brand new facility from the ground up.
The size of the space that you have to work with there will be about the same. You don't have that much extra room there, do you, in the reconstruction?
No. The facility that we currently occupy is about 11,000 square feet in total. But in addition to that, this will be on three levels now, and each of the levels will be between 11,000 and 12,000 square feet. The first level, which will be overlooking the pitch, which is traditionally where our level is,
right.
We will have our own bar, restaurant, catering facility, hall. Downstairs, then, we will have dressing rooms, meeting rooms, storage rooms, and various other various other rooms as need be, doctor's offices, referees rooms, and all of that. Then upstairs on the second level, we have a catering partner that will also have a catering facility there. And this goes a long way towards satisfying the MTA's requirements that they see the financial stability that's in place there in order for us to get the lease. So that was very important to secure as well.
And therein lies the key. This is not, you know, an effort to say let's do this and hope to God it's going to work. This is actually going to work because you already have a commitment, not only a commitment but a very strong lease, you know, from a tenant who whose income or the income for the new Gaelic Park will actually cover the expenses. And still have your own independent bar, restaurant, and obviously all of those of the state-of-the-art building that sounds terrific.
Well, that's correct. Now, you have, and what you have to remember is, obviously, the MTA as a business is not a charity organization, and in order for them to grant a long-term lease for anywhere, they want to see the financial stability of whoever's operating that, that's going to be able to pay the rent there throughout. And, I mean, the Nakaj, Paul and Keith Gino Nakaj, who have a big reputation in New York City, they operate Battery Gardens, they cater for the New York Marathons, Riverside Church, they are a big, big operator who has done numerous events and numerous work for the city. So in order for us that did not have a history of performance in this field, we needed to have a company like that, and we're very happy to have secured such a prominent partner
right.
as well.
And you're talking about a very well-established company, and obviously, you know, they in turn will benefit from, you know, again, you know, people like yourself, you're a property manager for ACAM and for all of the your committee members who know exactly what they're doing, and they have lived their lives in development. It's a win-win.
Yes, it really is. And I mean, people obviously are, I'm not saying skeptical, but everybody, when something new starts, people will always question it. But I think when they see the plans that we will be launching, launching over the next month, when we will be going around to the clubs and to organizations and showing them the models of what we're actually going to do and showing them all the facts and figures. And I mean, listen, speculation is easy to do for everybody, and everybody is very keen and everybody is very interesting. Very interested. So over the summer months, we are going to be going around to all of the Irish clubs, all of the Irish organizations, and showing them exactly what our plans are and what we're going to be doing and how it's going to benefit not just the GAA, but the whole Irish-American community in general.
And again, this is, you know, this is something that is New York City. This is not a new area that has to be marketed. This is a very established history that is being continued, this time on a very sound financial footing. And, you know, the commitment, again, from the GAA in Ireland, the Irish government, and I am sure through, you know, many grants that can be established as well. This is good news, and it's good news for, you know, for, it might have taken 100 years, but this is for, you know, the centenary of the New York GAA. This is an amazing and a great place to be. You're in a good place at, I thought it was a good time. Let us, have you a website?
Yes. Yeah. It's GAANewYork.com.
GAANewYork.com. www.thebeatsmusic.com. And I, you know...
it's a new website that's up and running, and if you go to that website, you will see a short video there that's narrated by Tommy Smith that we launched at our dinner dance next week. And as the plans come online, everything will be publicized to that. And obviously then it has our links to our Facebook, and all our social media sites will be all linked through that as well.
Okay, well, our colleague, our friend Tommy Smith, nobody better. But I wouldn't expect Tommy Smith or indeed yourself from Kildare to be anyways as excited as we are from the Wild West of Ireland. Connacht Senior Football Championship coming to Gaelic Park with, of course, on Sunday the 4th of May with Mayo. That's got to be a big event in itself. Great kickoff too.
It's one of the special days of the year, and it's not just the football. I mean, it's such a social occasion at this stage. And as we've seen over the last number of years, Mayo have bring a huge crowd from Mayo with them. And it's not just from New York. We already have buses coming from Cleveland, from Boston. We have people coming from Chicago. They have contacted us from pretty much everywhere throughout the U.S. Now, we will have tickets on sale, and all the information for that will be going up on our website on the next week or so. But as I said, last year when Leitrim played here, it's another wonderful occasion. We had people that came to the game from as far away as Sydney, Australia.
My God,
and
yeah.
You meet people that you would never expect to meet, and you hear the stories of how important this is. And we can all go now at this age. We can go see Mayo on TV. We can go see them in Crow Park.
Yes.
But to see a team that's been in the last two All-Ireland finals live in the flesh, playing a New York team, it's something very special. And it's not just all about the result. And that's something we need to stress. And it's something that the Connacht Council, in our discussions with them, are very aware of, is the extra dimension to it, that there is so many ties from all the west of Ireland to especially the northeast of the U.S.
Liam, I wish you lots of luck. Look forward very much to providing coverage, and again, on your website, and congratulations on that. Give it to us one more time.
That's www.gaanewyork.com.
That is www.gaanewyork.com. Liam Birmingham, who is the chairman of the Gaelic Athletic Association in New York. And Liam, thank you for spending the time with us.
Yeah, thank you, Adrian.
And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.